So in all of the excitement of the latter half of the gospel of Peter walking on the water and sinking, it's easy to miss a line that happened in the first part, in the lead up, where it mentions that Jesus sends them on alone and then he stays behind to pray. But the prayer of Jesus is significant, and it's significant because he is the model for all mankind. Jesus Christ is the image of man restored to union with God. By his incarnation, he brings those two things back together, God and us. And so he's the model. And if we read through the Gospels, he's constantly withdrawing. He's constantly leaving his disciples to be alone with the Father, to sit in communion with the one that he loves. So if we read through the Gospels, we can say that the life of Jesus, the life of the Son of God on earth, is a life of prayer. And it's a life of prayer because prayer is the response of one who loves. And there was no one who loves more than Christ. And so because he knows the Father and because he loves the Father, he remains in intimate, unceasing communion with the Father. He's constantly seeking out the opportunity to be with him. Now, of course, the heart of Jesus is perfectly attuned to the Father. No matter what he's doing, teaching, working, suffering, he's constantly in union with the Father. There's never a moment that he's not. But despite that, he still takes specific time away to be with the Father. Not because his disciples are a burden to him, or not because he gets tired of those he's serving, but because love always seeks time alone with the beloved. We can see that in marriage, that married couples want to be alone together. And if we see a couple that never spends time alone together, that's not a good sign. And we all know that. Because love seeks time alone with the beloved. And so Christ is constantly seeking the opportunity to be alone with the Father. Now, Jesus wants to live his life again in us. That's why we're baptized, so that he can do everything he did in his own life again in us. Everything he did, his work, his suffering, his resurrection, he wants to relive again here in Dodge City in you. And in his own life here on earth, Christ constantly sought prayer. So if Christ sought prayer and he desires to live again in us, then it follows that he wants to initiate us into prayer as well, to live that again in us. And so the life of a Christian is a life of prayer. Because to pray is to abide in the love of God, the place where Jesus dwelt continually, and the place where he wants us to dwell as well. So sometimes we look at vocations into the church and we divide them up, that these are the active vocations. You know, the diocesan priesthood, that's active. Marriage, that's active. And these are the contemplative ones. Carmelite nuns, they're contemplative. Benedictine monks, they're contemplatives. They give their lives to prayer, we give our lives to work. But that's not quite fair. Because all of us, no matter what our vocation is, no matter our state in life, are invited to be contemplatives, because all of us are invited to love. And love contemplates. It seeks the face of the beloved. It seeks to be alone with the one who is loved. And love, whether it's human love or divine love, love seeks the beloved for his own sake. not for the sake of getting something in return. Love loves because this person is worth loving, whether or not they ever give me anything back. That's the kind of love we're invited to. That's the kind of love that prayer can become. And so if we're seeking to pray, what should we know? I think our first reading, looking to Elijah, is very helpful, because from that we learn that God is not in the spectacle and not in the drama. He's not in the wind. He's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake. So the parallel for our own life and our own prayer is that prayer is not about feeling things. That in the beginning of prayer, often we do. When we're first starting to pray, God will give us that comfort and that peace, that consolation. And he does that because he's winning us to himself. But eventually, if we keep praying and if we keep persevering, we'll recognize that those feelings, as nice as they might be, aren't God. Just like the wind or the earthquake were not God. And so those feelings that we experience in prayer aren't God, and there comes a point where God takes us to the next stage of prayer. And those feelings stop, so that we can learn to love God himself and not just the things that he gives us. And so that's very normal. It's a period of purification, but that's the moment where lots of people give up because the feelings stop and they think, oh, I'm doing something wrong and I don't know how to fix it. And then they get discouraged and they stop praying. But that stage is very normal and it's a good sign. It's a sign of growth because we're learning to love God himself and not just his gifts. And often, it feels like nothing is happening. It feels like prayer becomes, I go sit in the room with the golden box and the red candle and I'm bored for 15 minutes and then I leave. Nothing's going on, Lord, what am I doing? But it's good to know that our feelings aren't accurate because they're operating on the natural level. But grace is supernatural. It's above us. We can't measure it with our feelings. We can't sense it unless God lets us. So not feeling things in prayer is actually more normal than feeling things. And that's okay because the fire, the wind, and the earthquake aren't God himself. And instead, God's voice was the tiny whispering sound. Which is one way of translating it, a tiny whispering sound. But another way of translating that, if you go to the Hebrew, is actually, you can say that it was a silent noise. That when God speaks to Elijah, it's a silent noise, which seems like a contradiction. How can it be a noise and silent? But that's okay. That gives us an insight into the fact that when God speaks to us, often we're not even noticing until later. And so when we feel like we're bored or nothing's happening, we can trust that God is speaking to us silently, even when we don't know what he's saying yet. And so a lot of times people will come and they'll ask, they'll lay out what they're doing in prayer, and they'll say, am I really praying? Am I praying well? And those questions are a distraction. Trying to measure our prayer is a distraction. And the answer is that if I'm seeking to pray and I'm putting forth effort and I'm giving God time, then no matter what happens, it's real prayer. And I can trust that. Because when we get too worried about feeling or not feeling or being distracted or getting results, whatever else we get pulled away from, we become like Peter in the gospel, who gets distracted by the waves and loses sight of the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus has come and he's made us sons and daughters of the Father. He's let us share his relationship that he has with the Father. He shares with us, so that now the Father is our Father too. And in prayer, we're invited to sit and to savor that relationship, to know that God is our Father. We're invited to be contemplatives, to be the ones who love. And that does take discipline, and so we need structures in place to help us remain in prayer, even when it's more boring than anything else we could ever imagine in our life. And so you could lay it out in this way, that we need time for prayer every day, something concrete that we can do, that we can commit to. Maybe it's sitting for 5 minutes in silence, offering the struggle to the Lord. Whatever it is, we need some way that we pray every day. And then we need some way that we pray every week. So the obvious one is Sunday Mass, that we have an obligation to be here. But maybe it's also spending time in the Adoration Chapel or some other thing that we do once a week. And then we need a time each month to pray in a special way. So maybe that's coming to confession, to be renewed, to be healed, to be cleansed. And then I think we need time each year, that maybe we take an afternoon, or if we're able to, we take a retreat of a few days to give time to God as we're able. We give time to be alone with our beloved. So time for prayer each day, each week, each month, and each year. And as we build those disciplines, we become more and more able to sit in prayer, even when it's not what we expect it to be. We learn to savor that relationship, savor the fact that we've been made sons and daughters. So this random Sunday in the middle of the summer, the 19th week of Ordinary Time, has my favorite collect of the whole year, that opening prayer that we pray together. It's my favorite. I love it when it comes up. So I'm just going to end by praying that again with you, just asking for the grace that we be brought deeper into prayer, that we can know that we're sons and daughters of the Father, that we can know his love and trust in that. Almighty ever-living God, whom taught by the Holy Spirit we dare to call our Father, bring, we pray, to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption as your sons and daughters, that we may merit to enter into the inheritance which you have promised. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.